So a lot of people wonder about the strong mayor principle. John Tory getting more powers. Well, David Miller, former Toronto mayor, weighs in. Five Toronto mayors wrote an op-ed and agreed that it's too much and it's an overreach by the province. And they agree the mayor of the city, John Tory, should be a little stronger in resisting the approach here. Have a listen to our conversation with David Miller from Toronto Today.
An odd, I don't think you get this very often, an op-ed in the Toronto Star from five former Toronto mayors. And the headline, in essence, former Toronto mayors, that's them, warn Strong Mayors Act will harm local democracy. And this was written, as we mentioned, by five former mayors, one of whom joins us right now on the line. We always enjoy our visits with him. He's former Toronto mayor, David Miller. It is great to have you on, David. Thanks very much for the time.
Good morning, Greg. Thanks for having me on.
How do we get five former Toronto mayors to agree on anything? But somehow, I'd love to read the oral history of how this all transpired and how you got together. But you all feel strongly about this issue, don't you?
Yeah, but I mean, it's that simple. It's extremely clear to us. Not only is the idea that giving the mayor a veto is both unnecessary and fundamentally not right, but the way this has evolved, it's very clear that what the province is actually trying to do is give itself a veto over the city of Toronto. And that's fundamentally wrong. You know, there's 3 million people in the city of Toronto. They elect their mayor and council, and it should be up to them to decide, to make the decisions that affect their neighborhoods and their lives. And allowing the province to, in effect, run the city of Toronto is just offensive and wrong. And that's how, you know, you look at these five mayors who come from all political parties and none with very diverse backgrounds. And we're all fundamentally agreed on this.
Yeah, it's David Crombie, Barbara Hall, Art Eggleton, John Sewell, and yourself. Can the case be made? And I suppose somebody that would disagree with the op-ed would make the case that if you don't like gridlock and you want to put more accountability on one man or one woman's shoulders, similar to how mayors are in you know, major U.S. cities like L.A., Chicago, and Toronto, couldn't they make the case that this legislation pushes things in that direction?
Well, no. First of all, they can't make the case that it pushes things in the direction of a mayor having more authority, because the act does exactly the opposite. It says it's giving the mayor more authority, but by making it contingent upon what the premier and the province tell the mayor, they're actually making the city subservient to the province. And that's just fundamentally wrong for all sorts of reasons. For example, if you're planning transit, what you want is the people of the city, through their elected representatives, to say, here's where we need rapid transit. It's their decision, not the province's. And there's all sorts of important decisions where you might have a divergent view between what Torontonians want and what the province wants, and it should be up to us. And secondly, I would push back very strongly against that idea that there's some magic in the governance of Chicago and York. The magic has been here. You know, Toronto's done pretty well with its system over the last 50 years. I think we should be pretty proud of our city.
But I wonder, do you think, and let's take New York then, since we often get compared to New York, climate, time zone, all the rest. Do you think anybody in New York City says, you know who we should let have more have more influence on, the governor or the state as a whole? And again, we're talking about strong personalities, the Michael Bloombergs, the Giulianis at the time, the David Dinkins, even Eric Adams. I think people would look and say, a lot is on him, so I'll praise him when it's necessary and I'll criticize him. But there's a power that those men have that maybe mayors in Canada don't have, and some are envious of that.
Well, first of all, it's inconceivable that Mike Bloomberg would say, I want the governor to tell me what to do. That's just inconceivable. And if you follow New York political history, there's been a huge fight over the decades between New York City and New York State.
And
over
Albany, yeah.
Transit system, for example. But, I know people like to look to those systems, but they miss things. In New York City, for example, has a really robust borough system where there are borough presidents who are hugely politically influential without direct power. We've got nothing like that. But aside from all of that, Greg, if somebody thinks the Toronto governance system needs to be fixed, and there's some things I think need to be fixed. For example, when they arbitrarily cut council in half, it made the job of a city councillor almost impossible. But that should be up to Toronto and the people of Toronto and its elected representatives to make a decision. That was the intent of the City of Toronto Act when it was passed about a decade ago or so. Let us, we're 3 million people, we're bigger than most provinces, let us govern ourselves and get on with it, and we'll make the right decisions. What? And taking away that authority just is counterproductive, and there's no example of it anywhere I can think of, except perhaps in Eastern Europe.
Former Toronto Mayor David Miller, our guest on Toronto Today. I think you make a great point, and I want to pick up on that. It's the process, the process of that happening before the last municipal election makes some people a lot more suspicious, or at least question the motives here. There's still people, you know, feeling a little bit burned about that. And I get it. That wasn't halfway into a term. That was in the midst of an election campaign. Commitments have been made. Jobs have been quit. Signs are up. And Doug Ford kind of swept down and arbitrarily did that. So I get that. I think there's a trust factor alone in Toronto municipal politics based on the last 4 years that makes it hard to go, what's up his sleeve here? I think that's fair.
Yes, and you know, there's a bit of another thing. I think the province gets away with all sorts of things. It's almost like people accept that there's some rationale for their actions. What's the rationale here? Nobody's really pushed a rationale other than, well, we need to build more housing. You know, Toronto's building tens of thousands of housing, or there are being built in Toronto tens of thousands of housing units every year, and there's no evidence whatsoever that anything like this is going to produce housing. You know, I would argue as a city person that we'd all be better off if the mayor had a veto over provincial actions that hurt Toronto. You know, Toronto, if you actually look at the decisions that are made and the things that are done, at its best, has a very effective form of government. It's not partisan. It's not just sound bites. The members of council don't have to do what the party leader says. They're there for their constituents and to fight for them. That's a far more robust form of government, and it requires compromise at council. And that's why the mayor already has a strong voice and a great bully pulpit and a huge platform, no matter who it is, in order to persuade council to support initiatives the mayor wants to see. You know, there's absolutely no need to strengthen that, and in many ways it harms the ability of local people through their councillor to get their needs met.
So I think
that's what democracy is about.
I agree with that. I think you make the point, though, that maybe there should be, you know, strong powers, but they back the municipality. Let's go back to those American examples. I don't think Gavin Newsom can swoop down and tell Eric Garcetti, the mayor of L.A., this is how it's going to be. The people of L.A. would back the mayor every single time. And they would say, no. We pay taxes here. We chose to live here. This is our city. That's our guy. You can, and St. Kathy Hochul, Eric Adams, that would be the same scenario. What you're saying is we should be strong enough in Toronto to have less provincial influence, not more.
Yes, exactly. Thanks, Greg. You put it better than I did. I'm supposed to be good at this. I believe in a strong city government. It meets the needs of people. It gives them a say over the decisions that affect their neighborhoods and communities. That's the right thing to do. And what this act does in a multiple ways is really undermine that and make the City of Toronto essentially something that the premier at a whim can tell them what to do. And it's fundamentally wrong. And you'd never see any mayor in the U.S. You know, can you imagine Richard Daley accepting the governor of Illinois doing something like this? It's inconceivable.
No. Last thing, I think we've arrived here because you mentioned it. It's a trigger word to say, well, let's build more housing. Well, everybody probably wants that. And everybody says that's a great idea, whether it's pie in the sky or whether there's practical means to do it. The other thing is, I think some of the issues that get stuck in city council or that kick down the road is something as simple as can I have a beer in a park? And we need to do a study about another study. Bathrooms being open in May or water fountains being open in June when people are walking dogs or they got taught. Those are the frustrating issues. And people think, okay, if we get city council out of the way, the mayor can make sure the taps come on. He can make sure I can have a beer in a park. But that's the perception out there. And as you know, perception in media, in politics, sometimes becomes that reality. And that's why I think there's some support for this.
Well, I'm not sure how much support there is for it, but that's separate. You know, each of those things could have been accomplished, particularly the stuff in parks. That's a result of budget cuts and efficiencies, so-called efficiencies, over the last 8 years. 12 years, really. Mm-hmm. You know, a mayor and city council who are their biggest priority is basically freezing taxes with inflationary increases. We're seeing those results in the things you talk about, and nothing about these powers would change that. The one example they've used in the newspapers is the bylaw about allowing rooming houses. And they say, well, if the mayor had a veto power, this wouldn't have lost. Well, first of all, the deputy mayor voted for it. So if the mayor can't get voted against it, if the mayor can't get the deputy mayor on side, then there's something seriously wrong.
Yeah.
Secondly, veto power doesn't give you arbitrary authority to impose whatever you want, and nor should it. You know, there should be a debate. And why are some of these issues, like drinking in parks, slow? Well, because not everybody agrees. And, you know, you and I might think it's a minor thing, but there are a lot of people who have the right to vote in this city, who express their opinions to their councillors and say, I'm really worried about this. And that's democracy. And that's a good thing, frankly.
Yeah, I know. They say the same thing about safe injection sites, right? So it's all over the place. Like it's there's a lot of Toronto gets criticized for a lot of NIMBYism, as you know, and it is something, you know, maybe I'm out of time. I wish we could talk more about it, but, you know, we can look in the mirror and we know when we're guilty of it and when we're not. I got to go. I want to talk more, but let's kick it down the road ourselves, maybe till later in the month, David. Thanks so much.
Great. Keep up the great work, Greg.
Thank you, sir. David Miller, you can read that op-ed in the Toronto Star.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink. All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone. Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.